Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 74. You don't have to reload the sword.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
I'm Anvil.
What a really great week we've had.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, let's get to the big news. System of a Down are back together.
Yay.
I know, he's been waiting for this day to come, haven't you, Blue Onyx?
Yeah, well, I don't know. The time that they took their break, I think they probably needed it anyways because, you know, they've been around, what, since 99 or something like that? At least I think around that.
Before that, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they had Soil before System of a Down.
What are you talking about?
They were in a band called Soil, and then they renamed themselves System of a Down.
Ah.
And I think they released their first album 798.
Somewhere around there, yeah. But, I mean, if you're, like, nonstop, going on tours, you know, getting interviewed, all that stuff, you definitely need a break, so... They went and did their own pass, and they made different music just from off that. Then that's given them that break, and that gives them to construct more songs to put together when they come back together for, hopefully, their, not just a reunion tour, just, like, an actual, like, full-out CD, straight out to the whole, you know, everything that they've been working on back when they did, you know, from their first album to...
Mesmerize.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Which... were two great albums. I know you weren't too keen on a lot of Darren's singing on those albums.
Yeah, but, I mean, now that I've been listening to, like, Scars on Broadway, I think that's actually kind of developed him a little bit more on the actual singing aspect, so if they're going to use him a lot more, yeah, go right ahead. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just because I think Darren kind of does like his own voice, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to, you know... Hopefully, when everything comes back together, it just all works. It doesn't, you know, fucking gets it gets you know, stuck together.
Yeah.
One of our viewers right now is saying that Darren sucks and Serge is the fucking man, which I agree. Serge is the fucking man.
But Darren doesn't really suck. It's just that maybe he just wants a little bit more control than he's giving.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. I hate the whole concept of people that deal with, like, control freak issues and all that other fun stuff because, yeah, you know, that means that their dick is about yay small.
Yep.
So, as soon as they get to that, they go into Napoleon mode and they feel like they have to control every fucking thing.
Yep.
I've seen it happen so many times.
Yeah. So it's good that they took this break and maybe, just maybe, they'll do a U.S. tour. I would be awesome if they could co-headline with a certain German new metal band.
Rammstein?
Yeah, Rammstein.
They're not that new.
No, new metal. N-U metal.
Oh, new
metal. Was it that Shade said their brand is New Deutsche Harte?
Something like that. Yeah. Somebody was saying Metal Mayhem here. So, yeah. Possibly.
Mm-hmm. And another band that's set to reunite next year, Slipknot.
Wait, hold on. Now, I heard that they broke up. But yeah, I know that the whole thing with the bassist and everything like that, passing, was a very sad ordeal, but with them breaking up, it was not showing their strength. It's just more or less their weakness of they can't, you know, function without each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't feel like, you know, I don't know how this is going to work. And I think the other thing is Corey has been working too much with
Stone Sour.
Stone Sour, so... I mean,
It's one thing to get in touch with your softer side with Stone Sour. I mean, yes, they do have their harder stuff, but they have this softer side that Slipknot usually doesn't have.
Well, I mean, there are some songs from Slipknot that are kind of softer, but
Vermillion,
yeah, part one and two. One and two are kind of like, you know, they're kind of softer side. But I want to say that with Stone Sour, like one of the new songs I hear on the radio constantly is the one that's like "We'll Be Forever Together Forever" and all this other stuff. It sounds kind of stalkerish too. Oh, yeah. Snuff. It's called Snuff.
It's called Snuff.
Yeah. It seems like it's an all right song, but I just feel like it could be a little bit better. But also, like when I've watched a couple of their videos, they have a separate singer altogether when Corey's not there or something like that.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of different.
Well, here's the thing with Slipknot. They set the headline what is called the Sonic Sphere Festival. It's a festival over in Europe. The quote from the band says, "The door is neither open nor closed. This tour is about burning down that door. See you this summer." So, nice. Looks like they're going to be back in, ready for action. Though, what I'm curious to see is whether or not they're going to have a new bassist on stage, or if it's just going to be the eight of them on stage and have the bassist somewhere in the back, or they'll do what X-Japan did with the deceased member and have the pre-recorded bass tracks playing with the band.
Possibly. That could be, that could happen, actually. Mm-hmm. There's one band, actually, that I've been wondering about lately is a Perfect Circle scene that we got on the little...
Perfect Circle. I have heard rumors that they're supposed to be coming back together with something.
Yeah. I'm hoping that there's something going to go on with that, because I'm kind of tired of the fact of not having... I mean, I've listened to the Perfect Circle CDs over and over.
Well, they have been performing. They were on Jimmy Kimmel Live on October 27th, and they were on Last Call with Carson Daly on November 12th.
Yeah, so, all right, that's good that shows that they're going to be performing their old songs, but I want something new.
Well, in a September 2010 interview, their lead vocalist, Maynard James Keenan, said that he's been working on demos for the last 3 to 4 years, and it's going to be decided out of these demos what are going to be in the next Perfect Circle album.
How about Tool? Seeing that Maynard's right there.
You want Tool?
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering because he's the lead singer of Tool as well. It's like, yeah. They haven't really done much with Tool at all and stuff like that. Well, lately, I don't know.
Well, they're on tour right now, and they're going to be heading out to play it at Australia's Big Day Out Festival in early 2011.
All right, well, that's good.
So, another big thing that I saw online, I know that probably you two aren't as excited about this as I am, but one of my favorite cartoons is going to be heading to the big screen. About a certain man with debt, he's taken under the wing and becomes a combat butler.
Oh, great.
They're making a Hayate the Combat Butler movie, and I am very...
Live action?
Actually, it'll be animated, but... In Taiwan, there's going to be a live-action TV series of Hayate the Combat Butler.
Oh, great.
I'm just wondering what it's going to look like, because as you may know, Taiwanese TV isn't really that up to par when it comes to their television standards.
Yeah, but also the cartoon. How many times have he been set on fire, beaten with, like, you know, tons of kitchenware? I just don't see it happening. Otherwise, that guy, they're going to have multiple replacements because they're going to kill
him. Are you thinking of Combat Butler, or are you thinking of Maid Guy?
Kamado Mei guy or Butler? Oh, my bad. But anyways, if they did that live action, that motherfucker would be dead.
Kamado Mei guy?
Both.
All right.
Dead.
I still say Jason Statham should play Mei guy.
Yeah.
He'd just be awesome. He'd be with that British accent just going, "Goo, goo, goo."
All right, let's get this fucking show started. Let's start it up with sports.
Yeah, let's turn on the sports.
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 Hello.
Yeah, okay, Anvil Robot. Anvil Robot out.
What do you want to start with?
All right, so we're going to jump into some baseball real quick.
Baseball.
Now, I hate to mention the Yankees, but, you know, Yankees. Derek Jeter just signed a 3-year deal with them, so that way he can fuck their, you know, midfield asses for a while. But the Red Sox did make a giant splash in the trades already. They traded away 3 prospects to the San Diego Padres for first base slugger Adrian Gonzalez. We've been trying this for a long time. Now he's ours, pending a physical. By the time you guys see the show, the physical should be over and he should be ours. Now, if we pick up either Carl Crawford or Jason Worth to play the outfield, we'll actually have the most potent offense since Manny Ramirez was here.
Yes, as long as the bats keep fucking coming out red hot.
Now, I'm hoping that we sign Carl Crawford. He's from Tampa Bay.
Okay.
For one, when we play him, we don't have to deal with him. Because he'll be with us.
Or otherwise, he'll be sitting on the fucking bench.
But Carl Crawford's also a Boston native.
Hmm.
He was born here, and he played his college ball at Northeastern. Hmm. So, yeah, I'd love to have him back. Plus, he's more of a power hitter, in my opinion.
Okay.
So, let's see if we can go out there pulling Carl Crawford. No, we sat down with him in Texas last week. So, let's hope we grab him.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Yay, Red Sox. Yeah, seeing that it's in almost the middle of winter.
Well, this is, you know, when all the trades are going. Winter. Fuck you.
Patriots?
Sure.
Patriots.
All right, so the Patriots, you know, we all know that they played on Thanksgiving and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And they kicked the shit out of some people.
But now, this is the most important game I think we'll play all season. The second meeting, Patriots versus Jets at Gillette Stadium. Winner controls the AFC East.
Brady and the Jets.
No. They kill you.
Okay.
Easy there, Tinkerbell.
Shut up, Geppetto. Anyways, let's go. Come on.
Thanks. So, basically, what it's going to come down to is, let's say we win this game.
Okay.
But we lose one of the other games, and the Jets don't, and we're tied at the end of the season. The Jets would still win the tiebreaker unless we beat them by more than 14 points.
Okay, so now it's a points fucking scale now? What the fuck is that?
That's only if we lose, let's say we win Monday, but we lose one other game. If we win out, then that doesn't matter.
Okay.
But right now, we're leading the league in games won, both teams. So whoever wins this game controls the destiny for a first round bye.
Okay.
And home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
So what you're really trying to say is win this game and hold out for the next four games.
And we're sitting home the first week, and then every playoff game's at home.
Okay.
Up until the Super Bowl. Now, I mean, after this game, we get the Bears. Decent team.
The Bears.
Green Bay. You know, the cheesy boys. Then we have Buffalo. And then we have, you know, the tuna fish.
The Dolphins?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, those are tough games, even especially the way Buffalo's been playing lately.
Shitty.
No, they've won the last two.
No, they haven't. They're shitty. That's just a fucking disguise. Oh, that's a disguise? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They just want to make it seem like they won so they're not the worst fucking team in the league. Next to the Lions.
Well, that's good to know. Considering the Lions aren't even the worst team in the league.
Who is it now?
Carolina.
Yeah, sucks to be them.
Yeah, you know, Detroit's pulled off a couple of wins.
Yep.
Because I'm going to Carolina.
No!
We're going to kill you.
No singing.
You're going to be right, dead just Celtics. Like Pitti is. So the Celtics played last night against the Chicago Bills. I mean Bulls, sorry. I'm thinking about horrible teams again. And they went
up. Well, they're both horrible teams.
104-92. Great game. They've won six straight at the Garden.
Yay!
Hooray!
But, I mean, guys are really stepping up. I mean, basically, if you look at our points guys, Pierce, Allen, Garnett, Shaq, leading the team in points per game. Rebounds, Garnett, O'Neal, Davis, and Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Assists, Rondo. Now, you ready for this? Rondo averages 14.1 assists a game. The next guy to him, which is Ray Allen, averages 3.1. that's a close one.
Come on, Ray Allen, stop hogging the ball.
That's what I'm saying.
Do I have to make that a fairly odd parents?
No.
Again?
No.
Please now, don't. All-star voting has started, and there's plenty of guys to go around. Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Shaq are all on the ballot this year.
They look good in blue.
I know.
I like that. You know what? I want the East.
I think I might order one this year.
That's fucking gorgeous.
I think I'm going to spend the money and order the
we got whatever blue.
It is. but I'll pick a really cool number. Maybe I'll get Shaq's if he goes.
All right.
So, this, you know, the Celtics are on a streak. We're playing very well. Next game is
December 5th with against the Nets.
Ooh, I'm scared. That's a tough team right there.
Yeah, well, you make fun of them now, and then we lose. And you're a dick.
Hey, they were the worst team in basketball last year. They almost set the all-time loss record.
What, next to the Knicks?
No, they Knicks beat the Knicks. Balls. All right, now let's move on to something that we really want to talk about. Hockey. Blue and hockey.
Go, black and gold.
The Philadelphia Phillies. No, wrong sport. Shit.
Philadelphia Flyers
came back into town. Now, as we all remember, let's all close our eyes for a minute and go back into, you know, past land.
No.
It was last winter.
They had the whole
thing. Bruins were up 3-0, 1 win away from going further in the playoffs, and we collapse.
Yep.
To the same team. And it hurt. I know we all cried. The Duck contemplated running away to Canada and becoming a Maple Leafs fan. Because he said it hurt less rooting for a sucky team. Because they disappoint you all year round.
And you can't
get hurt anymore.
I wasn't saying that.
Sure you were.
See, he's saying that now because the Bruins are back. And he's happy. He's like, I forgive you, Bruins. It's okay, pretty bird. So the Phillies come back in, and Tim Thomas is in net, and he's like, you guys are my bitches. Basically, that's what I heard he said.
Yep, use my hoe.
And, you know, Bruins scored 3 times.
Yep.
That's damn good. Well, Philly scored none. Tim Thomas took his league-leading 5th shutout of the season.
Interesting.
I know. He's doing phenomenally. He's leading the votes for All-Star and the Vezina Trophy. But then the very next night, we get the Tampa Bay Lightning. Led by league-leading scorer Steven Stamkos.
Yeah.
Stamkos.
All right. Thomas is a net back-to-back. But unfortunately, a few minutes into the second period, they scored on us. Yeah. He wasn't getting that shutout. But lucky for us, we scored 8, so, you know.
Yeah, it helps. Seven points up, you know, next to that is pretty fucking good.
7 different players scored, but that's not even the big news of that game. Do you know what it was?
No, what was it?
Mark Savard returned.
Oh, good.
Well, I remember, you know, seeing that the whole fact that you've got, you know, Savard coming back, and then you got Seguin, who's a newbie, that's actually pretty fucking good considering.
And he actually scored.
And, you know, them working together is probably going to be the best, you know, setup that we've got.
Yeah, because they're moving Seguin from center over to wing, where he's more natural to play, and Savard's back up there in the middle. He played 15 minutes and 35 seconds of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if people, you know, don't know why it's such a big thing, last year the Bruins were playing the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh. Matt Cook came by and leveled an elbow right across his head, giving him a severe concussion.
TKO.
Yep.
Well, he tried to make a comeback, but that was very short-lived, and he suffered from post-concussion syndrome.
Which really sucks.
So he's been fighting to come back all year, and he went to see the leading researcher in concussions who was doing all the studies, put him through a 6-hour battery of tests, and he got cleared to play.
Yay!
You know, he started practicing with the team, full contact, and made his return. I mean, he didn't score or anything, but it's just being out there.
Yeah, him being out there is actually one of the best things for the Bruins right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's able to, you know, assist with whatever. If he has to put down a guy, he's going to put down a guy for the team and everything like that.
Yeah, and
that's what he's good for.
Basically, just being out there, the team was, like, revitalized. Because, I mean, come on, they went out there and scored 8. That's the most I scored all year. So, I mean, I'm really hoping we get a chance to come out here, play our next game, and win. Because, I mean, we're on a roll. We're 4 points behind for our league lead. I mean, our divisional lead. But right now we're holding on to 7th place in the standings.
Yeah.
For the whole division kind of thing.
Now, the one thing I have to say is that it's kind of turned into Tim Thomas being like the main headliner goalie, and then Tuukka's only became a backup, and that's become an issue. I wanted the whole thing where Tuca and Tim are the fucking top ones. Not this whole, yep, now Tuca's a fucking backup again.
Yeah.
It doesn't help the whole fact that, you know.
Well, you remember, just 2 years ago when Tim Thomas won the Vezina, we also won another goalie award, him and Manny Fernandez as the 2 best goalies in the league. You know, duel. But Manny Fernandez was just like Tuca.
Young and unexperienced?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, this is only Tuca's 2nd year in the league. Last year was, you know, a freshman year, sophomore slump, man. That's all it is, sophomore slump. So we'll see where that goes from. But also, you know, this, you know, week we do have Strikeforce. Now, there's some good fights, depending on how you look at it. There's Benji Razor Roddick versus Ovin St. Pri. Antonio Bigfoot Silva versus Mike Mac Kyle.
I thought he looked like Common for a second.
Kind of does.
Yeah, he does.
The rapper.
Paul.
Now that's a cool fucking name right
there. Semtex Daily. Scott Hands of Steel Smith.
Not so much.
No. Ruthless Robbie Lawler. Meh. Versus Matt the Law Linlin. Meh. Uh-huh. Dan Hendo Henderson.
Hendo. Uh-huh.
Versus Ronto.
Renato.
Whatever. I'm making fun of it. Babalu. Sobral.
Okay, there you go.
I have to. You have to announce him like that.
Okay. It's only it's in his contract. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's how he spells it, Babalu. I ran out of paper.
Actually, when he got... Do you know what's happening? Shut up! I'm trying to explain now. Hey, I will strangle you, bitch. Okay, when he got the name Babalu, the guy that gave it to him was a Mexican soccer announcer. So when he said it, the guy keeps going, he's like, Babalu!
I deny it. I deny it. This is not real. This is bullshit. That's a lie.
Yeah, this is Inception.
Yep. I'll incept you.
Alright, anyways.
I'm not in your brain.
No, you're not.
Well, the booger that I put down my nose is in your ear.
Aww.
You dickwad.
No, it was a nosewad, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, in that case, it's better than a dickwad.
Yeah. Dickwad's kind of sticky.
I like that Hendo shirt. It resembles G.I. Joe. Yeah.
I don't know. You have a good one, though.
Yeah, I do have a good one. The whole setup with the American flag being torn up and shit. That's pretty cool. See, now that's the other thing with Strikeforce here is they've got the prelims, but you're not going to see them on Showtime. It's just that's the fucking thing that pisses me off. They need to start, you know, working out a deal with...
I thought you could watch them online somewhere.
Yeah, but why the fuck would you want to watch them online when you got, you know, a TV at home?
Yeah. I say they should do something with Xbox Live because with the way that they've been doing the ESPN on there, which has been pretty kick-ass in my opinion.
Yeah, but I don't think they've given enough yet for the ESPN. It's too much in its trial stage, basically, where they only put up like 4 or 5 little things that you could flip through to see either...
But you can watch some of the live games on there, too.
Rebroadcast. I haven't seen any live games really yet.
I was watching the Bulls one and Celtics one the other day, which was really good.
Now, there's a couple of, you know, smaller fights on here that I'm looking at. You know, you have, like, Ben Brown, who's 1-0 versus J.W. Wright make his debut.
Yeah.
Then you have, you know, Booker DeRoss, you know, who's 3-4 versus Colton Cole, who's 1-0. But if you look up here near the top, you have Justin Lawrence and Max Maternick both making their debut.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then also Pat Dumas is making his debut against Terrell Brown, who's 2-0.
Dumas. Yeah, Dumas. Anyways.
But, I mean, you know, at least Strikeforce will give you these, you know, young guy fights, too. And not, you know, make him go somewhere else, get a record, and come in. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, we're good on sports now.
All right. Well, let's talk about the movie that we went and saw. The Warrior's Way, aka
I didn't see
the
movie.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
I saw a movie.
Yes, you did.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So, The Warrior's Way. It's about this warrior named Yang, who's played by South Korean actor Jang Dong-gung, and he's ordered to kill the last member of an enemy clan. which it turns out to be this really young infant. So he refused.
Baby.
Yes,
baby. What he said, baby.
Baby.
Dango ate the baby.
Anyways.
Instead
of killing the baby, he goes and protects the baby, and now his former clan is out to kill him. So he escapes to a small American carnival town where there's a drunk played by Jeffrey Rush, and then there's this
Barbaros.
And also Peter Sellers.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lynn, who was played by Kate Bosworth, who was a knife thrower in the circus.
She's cute, but she has no ass.
Yeah. She had something on the top part, but not so much.
And then you got Tony Cox as 8-Ball, for those of you who remember. Tony Cox was Billy Bob Thornton's little henchman.
Hey, wait. Why do you have to mention Little?
Henchman.
Because it was henchman.
It was his henchman in Bad Santa. Yeah.
Thank you.
Little.
And then we had Danny Houston as the colonel, the second time he's ever played a colonel.
And of course, the one that really took the cake on this one was the baby. And Alan Rood is her name. Now that, how much you want to bet, it's going to be like that whole thing with the E.T. and Drew Barrymore. She's going to become a fucking popular actress, give it about 10...
15 years?
15 years, easily.
Unless she Dakota Fanning's it.
Oh.
Hey, Dakota Fanning is a pretty good actress.
Oh!
She played a good Sherry Curry in The Runaways. But I mentioned the actor Danny Houston. Do you know which other movie he played a colonel in?
Let's see, Wolverine.
Yes.
Yes, he played, who?
Striker.
Striker, but I still... But he also did the movie, 30 Days of Night or something like that, where, there were vampires that came out of, like, Alaska?
Alaska.
Somewhere around there, and...
Did they sparkle?
No, they didn't sparkle.
Good. They
just caught on fire and went... Poof.
That's the way a vampire should be.
No, they didn't explode so much, actually. They just turned to ash, really, and just burnt and just
went ashes away. And ashes.
They just burnt out.
Yeah, it was just that way whenever the sun was introduced. But yeah, I mean, he's a great actor. It's just, I mean, he did an awesome job in this movie, too.
Yeah.
I did like I think if you met this guy in person, I'm kind of like, he's 50-50. He's probably like the nicest guy you know, or he really is a douchebag. Because he plays a really good douchebag.
Yeah.
Because that's the funny thing is, like, when you go and, deal with actors, and they portray the asshole on there, but when you go and meet them in person, they could either be the asshole or the real nice guy that would be like, hey, come on to the house. Yeah. Dude, you're in the movie that you just killed a shitload of people. How the fuck are you so nice? Well, that's a movie. Oh, right, I forgot.
You want a beer while I explain?
Yeah.
But he was in Edge of Darkness, too.
Oh, yeah. He was.
In Clash of the Titans.
And Robin Hood. He was Richard the Lionheart.
The Kingdom. He's all over the fucking place.
The number 23.
Yep.
That's
Children of Men.
Oh, which, yeah, that's right. Fuck.
The Aviator.
The Constant Gardener.
21 Grams.
Time code? Random. No, but I mean, these are all his earlier works, but it seems like, he's one of those great actors,
Boogie Woogie.
What the fuck? Art Spindle.
You don't know Jack.
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
Really?
Yeah.
How to Be a
Jock. Oh, yeah! He had the fucking stripper!
Yes!
That's a bad movie. I mean, it's a good movie, but it's bad.
As in, I hope they serve in beer in hell, kind of bad, right?
Whoa.
No. Let me not explain that one right now. I'll explain later because it's really not fucked up.
It's as bad as a diarrhea guy.
All right, let's get back to the actual movie.
We're
going to
talk diarrhea.
So with Warrior's Way, it dealt with the whole fact that he's the greatest swordsman ever
in the history of mankind.
He's coming to off the final last, member of the enemy that has been going on for 500 years, all this other bullshit, and he just can't come to do it. And he ends up leaving to go to America. Of course he had to kill the old woman.
Well, she was about to kill him.
But that was actually pretty funny, because he just goes, he just randomly fucking kills people, and you're like, oh shit, why did he do that?
And
then he sees the knife pull out of the table, or her, you know, like a knife come out of nowhere. It just,
yeah, like stab him in the eye with, how much for the fish?
Yeah, exactly. So
it's free.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
And of course, the one thing that really sucks is no matter what he does, he burns down every fucking place that he's at or something,
yeah,
like that, and they still
that.
Find him. But the funny thing is it's this damn sword, I guess.
You know what it is? It's to collect insurance.
Yes.
He's got that Geico home insurance.
Yeah, he's good at, you know, doing the whole insurance jobs on his places.
I saved a bunch of money by switching my house insurance to Geico.
So, now with that said, he goes, you know, to the little carnival town, mm-hmm. ends up in that setup. And with that, he finds that yet another person that was one of his friends used to live there.
Yeah, Smiley.
Yeah, Smiley, who did, like, laundry for the town and everything like that.
No relation to Captain Smiley from Comic Jumper.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So, dealing with that, he comes upon the girl that, you know, I want to say she's the next main character or something like that.
Third in the line.
Yeah,
because it would be Dang Jung-gong. Jeffrey Rush and then Kate Bosworth.
All right.
So main female.
Yes.
So what's the dealing with that her is that when she was younger, there was a whole fact of Danny Houston's character coming into town, who's
the
like the bad guy, and he goes and, you know, he looks for the girls with the nice teeth.
I didn't get that. He had some sort of tooth fetish.
He had a tooth fetish because he liked to put his you-know-what into their mouth.
Oh,
so you don't put it somewhere where diseases are.
Yeah, especially with, you know, did you see some of those girls that, like, when they were holding their mouth and they went,
they look
and you're
British?
Like, holy shit, it's a predator.
I thought they were British for a minute.
Yeah. But so when he was looking for the ones with the really nice teeth and everything like that, that's what his thing. So with the girl, as young as she is, there was the French fries being cooked on the actual stove, and she goes and hits him with the hot oil.
Yeah.
And it burns his face really badly.
Yeah.
But he goes and shoots her, shoots the family, and I mean, like, the husband, the wife, the young baby, and the daughter. So it was like all one, like, clean sweep of a family, basically, off the face of the planet, but yet, somehow, she survived.
Just like in Faster last week.
Yeah, singing got shot in the head.
Yeah.
This one was basically through the back into the, you know, front exit or wound or something like that. But
very close to the heart.
Yeah, so. So, yeah, let's just say that, you know, she survived that, but it took a little while to figure this out because the main character, Yang, is, you know, he's learning a little bit of everything. He's trying to escape his past, yet no matter what, it just seems that no matter what he does, is he's going to end up fucking killing somebody with that sword that he has.
Yeah.
A part of me wants to say that if he would have tossed the sword away or hit it and then went back to them, it might not be so easy to track down.
You'd be like, ooh, I hear the sad flute.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell? It was tied to this turtle.
He
morphed into a turtle.
I did like the fact that he sealed his sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I still didn't understand that whole fact that, you know, the sword wasn't making sound. Yeah, you know, that the sword was making sound.
It wasn't like the singing sword in that Bugs Bunny cartoon.
No.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where the colonel's men come back into the town, and he's got that whole Phantom of the Opera look on him going on. And
God he doesn't sing.
Yeah,
I've come to kill your village.
But yet again, he's looking for the girls with the nice teeth and whatever, so he can get laid.
And then he sees the hot Spanish girls.
Yeah, he killed the two families, and then the two daughters come out. And he's like, oh, daughters, giggity giggity, you know. But then Lynn's character comes into play, and she's trying to, you know, seduce him, but yeah, try to kill him at the same time. And things go on from there where he escapes after, you know, the killing that happens from Yang.
Yes.
So with that going on, he escapes, goes, grabs his men, comes back, and the people of the town were able to create a whole, you know, setup to take on them.
Well, we don't want to spoil too much in the movie.
Yes, I do. I want to spoil everything. But yeah, it goes into the whole fact that, you know, the town actually comes together after that whole part that happens to that family. I like that whole part, but All right, fine. Fuck it. We'll leave it at that. But, I mean, yes, this is a good movie, I want to say. Right now, it's a 7.0 on IMDb. I don't know about this. No, it's not bad, actually.
I will admit there are some dry areas in the film, but I kind of understand that this was the character of Yang trying to get away from everything.
They were doing a dramatization of that shit. Now, the thing that I have to say is I'm trying to find out if this guy, I think he was actually trying to portray a Japanese character. I mean, he's rocking a Japanese sword, correct?
The katana, yes.
Yeah, so it's more or less along the lines as he's portraying.
Yang isn't Japanese. Isn't a Japanese.
No, he's Korean.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems kind of weird.
And his teacher, who was played by T Lung, is from China.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's a movie. They fucking pick whoever. They could have picked somebody who was Japanese, or they could pick the Chinese or Korean or anything. I mean, they've got a lot of good actors over there that are trying to break through over here in America. And this guy is, I think with this movie, he's done a good job. And hopefully he could, you know, start picking up speed and get some more movies under his belt.
Mm-hmm. And this is the, I don't know how to pronounce this director's name. Snook Moon Lee.
That's an interesting name, yeah.
I think this is one of his... I want to say his first film, because I know he's part of, like, this big Korean film board.
Yeah, but he actually wrote it, too.
Yeah. But for this to be his, like, first, like, American film, I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, especially with the English, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because according to IMDb, this is his first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both director and writer.
For a first try, it's pretty good. But, you know, I've seen movies where they've done the whole... warrior trying to escape thing a lot better. I mean, last year we had Ninja Assassin. You were eh?
No, but this is a completely different story.
Right.
Well, time frame wise, yeah, but I mean, Ninja Assassin was him trying to go back to kill his old things. This is him trying to get the fuck away, and the old people, his old clan trying to kill him just because.
And him finding a place where he's happy, falling in love... and just try to make a new life.
Yeah, well, that's another part of the story where he learns a lesson where he's just not, you know, everything has been in life is kill, 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 you know, fucking anything that gets in your way, basically, that, you know, would be an obstacle. This, he was like, wow, I know how to clean laundry now. I know how to plant a garden. He plants this fucking gorgeous garden. He does, like, a lot of stuff. And he just goes, goes to show him that, hey, I can actually do something besides fucking offing tons of people and being the greatest swordsman ever.
Yeah. So I can have a peaceful life here.
Yeah.
But of course, trouble always follows from behind.
Well, the trouble wasn't from him. It was from the, you know, the village.
The townsfolk, first of all.
Yeah.
And if he didn't crack open that sword, he would have been a little bit better off. Well, besides having to take on the actual like colonel and the cowboys there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely have to say that this movie is two thumbs up, basically, for me. I'll give it a four on the rating.
Okay, I think I can give the same thing for that. I mean, yes, there were some dry areas to it, but I felt that the story it was telling was very well written and very well acted. And I'm hoping to see a lot more of Jang Dong-gun in future films. Maybe more, like, dramatic roles and not so much the action roles, because... for the most part, when you see like an Asian person in a lead role in America, it's always a samurai or a fighter like that. We need to see more people from the Asian cinema doing dramatic roles in American cinema. And I'm not the only one that will agree to that. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people in around the world will say the same thing.
Yeah. What do you feel?
I'm gonna give it a 4.3. Really good work, good written, good direction, good acting. But yeah, I mean, it was a really good job by everybody. From, you know, Dong-gun Jung to Kate Bosworth to Jeff Rush.
I had to fucking kill somebody.
I wonder if there's anyone that's commented about that online.
Danny Houston and
Tony Cox. Just keep going.
So, I mean, it works. But I thought it was, you know, a good movie. It was independent, right?
No, it wasn't independent.
This wasn't independent?
No, this was like a $40 million movie.
Easily.
Really? How'd they spend that much money?
A lot of the stuff is CGI'd and stuff.
Yeah, there's green screen and everything.
Well, CGI, so. My ass.
I mean, they did a pretty good job for the CGI.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of just looked natural in the background instead of like, oh, yeah, that's definitely fake.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do we go on?
Why are the children walking through space?
Yeah. So, video games now?
Yeah. Well, Borik and I did this review of this video game called Nailed.
Yeah, you can go and check it out on the website right now.
But I figured we'll give Anvil the floor to give his take on the game, because he also got a chance to play it.
I would love the floor, but there's a carpet over it.
No.
It's a bonus.
Ooh, so I have the carpet too?
Yes.
Yes!
All right, this motherfucker did Sambo the other day.
Oh, Sambo, not Samba.
Sambo! I said Sambo!
For those that don't know what Sambo is, it's Russian martial arts and lots of flipping and very painful moves that dislocate shoulders and elbows and stuff. But I played Nailed and holy freaking shit. Motherfucker! I think that pretty well describes it.
Yes, it's pretty fucking badass.
Yes. I sat there and I took it and I'm on my ATV, I'm like, this thing looks like shit. Oh my god, here we go. Oh shit. Oh yeah.
Especially the whole nitrous, you know, boost setup that they have on the actual bikes. So it's pretty badass.
And drops.
And they're sitting there and they, you know, they're like, okay, Anvil, give it to Shades. One more time. And then I found out that I could use a motorcycle. Oh lord.
Yep.
Now, the fun thing about this is we weren't able to really mention too much besides the white knuckle cream.
Yes.
Last week, but more or less we were able to put it up because of the whole fact that they told us we couldn't put anything up until the fact that the game came out. So
yeah.
We were able to put it out day one as soon as it came out.
It's like, okay, it opens up at midnight, we're going to send this
at
12:01,
basically.
12:01.
Yeah. And then what's good about this game, too, is that the levels itself are challenging. Like, it'll take you a long time to become a master of it, but yet you think you'll become a master of it, but what it is you're experiencing is what I like to call George of the Jungle Syndrome.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. What is George of the Jungle Syndrome?
That's where you think, I'm the master of this level. Watch out for that tree. Bam!
Now, the whole thing with you mentioning that, The graphics that they have of the vehicle hitting off the stuff and exploding is actually pretty cool. Yes. Now, the one thing I'm wondering if you found out that I did, I went first, you know, one of the other races that I'm driving through, I can't remember if it's Greece or not, but one of the cliff, you know, the cliffhanger setups and everything like that, I end up driving off one of the cliffs thinking that I was just going to go and get, you know, re-put back onto the track.
Yeah.
My character actually parachuted.
What?
Yep, I found a part where you can actually parachute, so I got an achievement.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yep, I did it.
See, now it's kind of funny, like, he was talking about, you know, crashing and everything, how you think, you know, you're all set and then you crash. Because I know the duck over here was driving, you know, he's in first place, he's about to, you know, cross the finish line, he's got one jump and then hit a rock.
Yeah, and then I lose it.
Yeah, basically, the funny thing is with the vehicles that they design, you're able to actually control in air, depending on what you know, frame body that you use on the, you know, the actual ATV or, you know, the motocross bike or something like that, because I like the actual ATVs better. I feel like I'm able to control them, but yet the motorcycles are a lot faster.
Yeah.
The thing about that is the motorcycles don't have that great, you know, turning rate, you know, setup. Mm-hmm. But if you could learn how to control that along with the speed and everything like that, you'll be able to kick a lot of ass.
Because Shades is doing a great job with the motorcycle.
Oh yeah, he loved the motorcycle. What did you think about the motorcycle?
I love the motorcycle.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, you know, you split the bastards down in the middle here. We got two that like the ATV, two that like the motorcycle. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where it depends on what kind of person you like, whether you like the ATV or, you know, the motocross bikes.
I mean, truth be told, the game's just like, you know, any other thing in life. You know, you like one thing and I like another.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about the game is I have an issue with the whole fact that you're not able to do tricks, and I've been playing like all these ATV games, motocross games, And almost all of them, besides like the old Ricky Carmichael games and all those other ones that I used to play,
yeah,
didn't have actual tricking in this. This one did not have tricking. So I was kind of a little pissed off because of the fact that they said stunt. And I was like, woohoo, stunts! There's going to be tricking! Fuck yeah! No, it's not really tricking. It's more or less landing the vehicle in, what is it? The proper landing setup or something like that. You have to land with the front wheels instead of the back wheels, which, you know, I don't know, what is it, takeoff or something like that, that you get points for that. You have to jump through these hoops of fire, which are called, you get sniper shots or something like that.
Well, see, I got, you know, good points, but, you know, if I land properly, like, with the back wheels and go right into a wheelie.
Yeah, if you get into wheelies, it's one of those little things, but it really makes the game challenging because of the fact is you're not able to do these fucking crazy-ass tricks, get a shitload of points, and then be able to boost the fuck out of everything. This one makes you go, fuck, I gotta land this correctly in order to get that boost that I need to get past these other guys and all this other stuff. The other one I like is Road Rage. Road Rage is a lot of fun, except when they do the mutator setups where they have it set up where you can't slam into the other guys on the thing, so everybody's passing through everybody. It's like a time trial, more or less. Everybody's trying to get to the end first, but yet you can't bounce into anybody, which kind of pisses me off, but it does make the game even more interesting. But I do like the mutators when you're able to do full boost the whole friggin' level. And I'm telling you, the graphics are fucking insane. But the fun thing about it is when you have the actual races that doesn't have the boost mutator on it, you're going around, you're like, wow, this is good graphics, great friggin' surroundings, all this other stuff. But when you're doing mutators and everything like that, with the boost, you're just fucking whipping through everything and you go, holy shit, what friggin' background?
But let me ask you something. You were saying Road Rage. I thought it was called Road Rash.
Road Rage.
Road Rage.
Not Rash.
Why would you want Road Rash? Ew.
Road Rash is another really good video game.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying Road Rage, where Road Rage is you slam into another vehicle and slam it off into a rock or something like that, and they explode. So it's one of those setups, but I definitely have to say when you're driving on the motorcycle, sometimes it's not too easy to go up against an ATV. So if you're on a motorcycle, do it in the air, because if you hit them when they're on the ground, they're just going to fucking bulldog you into the wall. But yeah, I mean, altogether, they did a great job on this game. I mean, I gave it a 9.3, I think, on the website, and you gave it a what? 8.9?
I gave it a 9.1.
Oh, okay. So what did you give on there? Two thumbs up.
Which is
a scary smile.
9.5.
All right.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, what was the other reviews that we were seeing on this? I mean, the lowest we saw was maybe a 70. And that guy's probably a douchebag anyways.
No, the lowest, I couldn't see the graphics.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, the lowest I actually saw, shockingly, was IGN. They only gave it a 5.5 out of 10.
That's because IGN snorts coke. But anyways.
Oh, hey, yeah. Hey. Listen, you know, they're trying, you know, to support the Get George Jung Out of Prison initiative.
Bullshit. Anyways, I don't know about IGN so much. I mean, I'm actually trying to take them off my email list because I'm tired of them fucking throwing shit at my friggin' email. It's just, it's not worth it anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, they definitely, you know, did a great job with this. What was it, Quicksilver or no?
Deep Silver.
Deep Silver and
Techland.
Techland, yeah. They did a great job with this game. Now, what I suggested in my review and everything like that, add the tricking. The tricking is one of those things that is major. I mean, if you look at the game Pure, you're in competition with the game Pure right now, in my opinion, because Pure was basically 10 straight out. It was just an all-around good game. It was well-rounded. I mean, I know most people got it with their Xboxes when they bought it, which was like, you know, Batman, Lego Batman and the Pure game. You know, that's that one game, the case. And whenever I played Pure, it was just the baddest-ass game I've played. So, yeah, I definitely have to say, you know, go with that.
And let's just hope this is the start of a beautiful new franchise.
Yeah, it's, you know, as soon as they keep, if you get the ball rolling the right way, you're going to fucking make lots of people happy. So, yeah, keep it going. All right, now what's on the next one?
Okay, I tried the WiiWare demo that came out this week for a game called Cave Story.
Oh, Cave Story.
And it's a WiiWare version of a PC freeware title.
Ah.
And basically, you are the silent protagonist, and you've got to save the cave inhabitants from this evil doctor who apparently kidnaps people and kills them.
Okay.
And the style of the game is a side-scroller 8-bit game with, you know, better music.
All right.
So it looks like an like, I wouldn't say, like, the first generation of NES, but more of, like, close to the end of NES, where the game, where the graphics were starting to look a little bit better.
Yeah.
In order to play the game, you held the Wiimote similar to the original D-pad with the NES as well. So it wasn't, like, click and
so you could get the D-pad in the D-pad that they have to connect to the Wii and play it that way as well.
Oh, right? No. Actually, the only way to play it is with the Wiimote sideways.
Oh, so they don't... Oh, okay. Bastards.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And I do have a little bit of an issue with this game because it's been out for a couple years as a free game on PC. In fact, I even have it on my computer upstairs.
Oh, okay.
So when I played this game, it felt like exactly the same game that I played on my PC. Now, they're saying that there is more to the game on the WiiWare version than there is on the PC version, mm-hmm. but so far I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
While it may look like a worthy download, if you have a PC, just Google Cave Story. I am pretty sure you will find the free version to play.
And then if you have Wii, you're able to download it right off there and everything like that.
Right.
I have to say it is kind of fucking confusing. And the other thing I have to say is annoying when you're downloading these demos mm-hmm. is that I like Mario, but yeah. God damn it, that's fucking annoying. It's got three blocks right like on the top there, and then it has the Mario character running through the screen like nonstop, and then all of a sudden he'll be like ding, and then next frame ding, ding, and then it gets to the point where it's at the end. He's like and you're like, God damn it, will you stop this? So it gets to the point where download the fucking game and switch to your Xbox or PS3 and play a game for a little while until you don't have to deal with that annoying fucking thing.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say is damn you, Nintendo, for doing that fucking annoying thing.
So I give this demo for Cave Story like a 3.7 or 3.8.
Okay.
If you, like I
said,
out of 5. If you have a PC, just Google Cave Story, you'll find a free version. If not, then I guess the Wii U version will be pretty good.
Yep. Alright, with that said, next one.
Game that we found as an Xbox Live trial.
Trial, because it's one of the downloadable games.
And Unbound Saga, which really reminded me a little bit of
Comic Joker Zone. And that one.
Comic Zone.
It felt like you were reading a comic, but yet it was also kind of cliched at the same time. It felt yes. like it was a little bullshit, but also they didn't, you know, they had the little bubble things on top of their heads that says, oh yeah, blah, 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 but yet they only said one thing, or like the bum was going to say something, he goes, hey, and then all of a sudden it goes into the little bubble, and you're just like,
yeah.
I have to read every fucking thing they say in order to get to understand what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
And especially that goddamn bum saying, hey, they stole my friend's liver, fuck him, let's kill him. What? Really? Seriously? I don't know. It was kind of a little off on the game, but it seemed like when you watch the intro video, it pins the main character up against the actual guy who's the comic
creator. You know. In fact, while you play the game, the more you guys do defeat, you'll see the actual hand come down and start drawing the next character.
Which is actually a pretty fucking cool design, which yeah. they did, where the guy, you know, all of a sudden you see the character drawn in, and then it just, you know, all of a sudden you hear like a zoot, and then they fade in, and you're like, holy crap, that was pretty cool, and then you beat the shit out of the guy.
Yeah.
Yet, I feel that the controls were a little bit too easy on the ass-kicking aspect of it. You got, I don't know, I forget what it was. The bottom right two controls were kick and punch.
Yeah.
I kept on grabbing the motherfucker.
Yeah, I did the same thing yeah. too. I was grabbing and just tossing.
I think
them.
X was grab and Y was throw, so A and B were basically kicking.
I hope that there's a way to switch the controls in the game.
Yeah, because I felt like I kept on grabbing everybody and tossing them around. And then I got to the boss, and then I beat him, and then they yeah. wanted to say, here, pay for the full trial or continue. Yeah. I went to continue, and it brought me back to the main screen. And I was like, fuckers.
Yeah.
So, they yeah, I mean, us. It was an alright game.
Yeah. I did like the veterinarian line. It was like, oh, if I could just not
yeah.
be in this comic world, I would just be a veterinarian. I love puppies and kittens. But alas, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it was just kind of a lose-lose situation on that one.
Yeah.
So, I'll give it a fair 3.8 or something like that. Just because I do like the kind of, you know, version that they were putting off on the game and the comic setup, but I think it's just been done before.
I give it a 3.6, and I do worry that because we've tried out the first level, and there's only going to be 10 levels in this game, that's going to be pretty damn short. And I feel like for 800 points, that's kind of a little bit too much.
Drop it down to 400, maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
Or even 500.
Yeah.
And then one other demo I got to try was called The Undergarden, and it's a puzzle game where you fill the underwater world with flowers and fruit, and then you try to get from one end to the next. It's a little bit reminiscent of another game that's on the PS3 called Flower, which is a really cool game. Well, it's not so much a game as it is more of like a program to play to relax.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of got this sort of calm, nightlight sort of look to it. Like, it's like bright and shiny, but it feels relaxing.
What the fuck? How are you supposed to relax from a video game? How? Besides yoga. How? That makes me want to poop your pants.
Oh, dear.
Yes, oh, dear indeed.
What the?
Okay.
What
so,
the hell?
It's a rhino. Anyways. So, all right, now keep going.
Well, the gameplay, as you might expect, it's not exciting, but it's more about relaxing the brain, trying to, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's more about trying to get to one area in the most calm way as possible.
Okay.
And then, what I feel that this game is trying to accomplish is, like, instead of having to play like Call of Duty Black Ops and getting raged over and being stuck in one area, this would be like the sort of game to put on for like 20 minutes and to relax before jumping back into Black Ops.
Alright, so what you're really trying to say is when they've done the scans for people that have, you know, played violent video games, there's this part of the brain that lights up, and that's the aggressive part of your fucking brain. So when you play this game, it's supposed to light up the not-so-aggressive part of your brain.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to get by, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a game with simple controls, simple premise, but it's definitely not for the hardcore gamer. I give it a 3.1 out of 5.
Well, here we go.
Yes, for all you hippies, go ahead, play this game. Anyways, now next one that you got going on here is Funky Lab Rat.
It's another puzzle game where you get from one spot to the other.
Damn it.
And what you do is you have this like little magical flashlight where when you click on an object with it, it will like flip it upside down and around so you can try to get from one place to another.
Boobies.
No. Is this the one where they wrote that new song for?
Nope.
Play the funky music, white rat.
No? What the fuck are you talking about?
I was being funny.
Damn you.
Well, that failed.
No, that was funny. Because you're laughing while blocking. See? You move your hand to be serious. You're like, funny. Serious. I'm French. We can act serious. I think of World War II and how we were taken over.
Nope. Now, the thing that this game, after playing so many puzzle games from this Undergarden game, from the puzzle games that I played last week, the one where I could pause and, like, turn the room down.
No, that wasn't the rocket one. I know that one.
No, not
I tried that out afterwards, and I was kind of like, this is shitty. I didn't like it too much.
Oh, okay. After playing those and seeing a game like Funky Lab Rat kind of sucked.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's going to be worth any more of my time of describing it. I give it, like, a 2 out of 5. I'll give it for trying to be inventive, but the only issue is, at the same time, there are other people that are trying to be inventive in the same way and doing it a lot better.
Now, the other thing I have to say here is thank you, Wii, for actually giving us a demo, finally, that we're not dropping 500 of your goddamn WiiWare points to try out a game that's going to suck balls and that we're probably never going to get again, and we're not going to get our money back just because of that refund thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that sucks about that. Now, the whole thing is keep coming with the demos. We just want more and more demos, just how the setup that, you know, Xbox has. God damn it, why don't you just create a whole setup where you could go and create a little mini hard drive to go right off the actual Wii, you know, so it goes and works that way.
Agreed.
I mean, shit, you could get one of those SanDisk, you know, little, you know, SD cards to pop in that sucker, and you'd be all good, but sometimes I feel that they should have upped the ante on the memory, and definitely upped the ante on the graphics, but that's probably what they're going to do with the next Nintendo system that comes out.
Yeah.
Not sure what the hell that's going to be called.
Wii 2, I hear.
Oh, great. Anyways.
They might be announcing some more info on that, either at PAX East or the next E3.
All right.
That'd be awesome if it was at PAX East.
Now, this wasn't on our sheet, but I'm just adding this anyways because, you know, we've got a little bit more time to go with here today.
All right.
So, the game that I recently bought when I had money.
Back in the day when Bluonic had money.
Back in the NOM.
Yeah. Anyways. There's this game that I found mysteriously because I was, when my Xbox died, and it flew off to wherever the hell it went to. And
land of electronics.
No, actually, in my pool table room, actually. It's sitting there collecting dust until I could get another $100 and send it back and get that repaired for the fucking nephews.
Waka Waka.
Yes, Waka Waka indeed, bitch. Alright, so this game, I was looking at the Wii shooting things because I was just like, I need a shooter game for my Wii console. I mean, Anvil and I, we always end up going to, you know, let's say Fuddruckers or the movie theaters, and there's this one fucking game that we always drop at least $2-3 in each time we go.
Terminator Salvation!
Exactly. And that, it picked me up to go, fuck, I need some more shooting games for, you know, my Wii, you know, setup. So, yeah, I did pick up, you know, House of the Dead Overkill and House of the Dead 2 and 3 just because.
Yeah.
But yet I haven't gotten the Wii shot, you know, Wii gun setup, you know, from like, what is it, Pure Shot or Sure Shot, whatever the fuck it's called. Perfect Shot, I think it's called. But anyways, I found this game called Reload, Target Down. Now, of course, it's not always going to be everybody's favorite game, because everybody's all about, yes, I fucking killed that guy. No. This is a training-type game. This is one that you'd actually probably find yourself in if you're trying to go in for SWAT or military or something along those lines, like policing. Now, the basis of the game is they give you scenarios and stuff like that, or actually gun ranges that you go through. So, like, let's say I think there's like the hotel one or something like that they deal with. Or the gas station. Actually, the gas station one's a hell of a lot better. So you've got paper cutouts of these people that look either like civilian, which would be, you know, they have them as, in the gas station one, they would have like a Muslim type of attire. And then the other ones are the terrorist. So the terrorist paper ones, Yeah, you have to go and, you know, put down all the terrorists, and you see the paper things cut, you know, explode when you shoot them and everything like that. They did a really good job, especially with the whole set. They teach you how to double tap. They teach you a lot of things in actually how to actually shoot, you know, shoot the setups on this. And I was actually pretty impressed with this game. So altogether, five out of five because of this game setup. The company called Mastiff did a great job putting this together. I mean, Mastiff has a couple other games. Like, they have like some kind of games that are like Cabela's, you know, where you go and do hunting. It's like the deer. Where is it? Well, also Chicken Blaster, I think they're part of. But, but yeah, I mean, Mastiff has done a great job with, you know, putting these things out with, you know, small games. I mean, $20 for a new game, that's not too bad. It's simple. It's easy. I mean, let's put it this way. Look, listen to the guns. You got an AK-47. You got a Desert Eagle. You get to speed shoot with the Desert Eagle. I mean, that is fucking sweet, I have to say. They get probably the favorite of everybody is the chain gun. Now, you're on a mounted Humvee, and they drive you around, and you have to light up all the paper targets without, you know, hitting civilians. Believe me, it sounds easy, but it's not that easy. It's very hard. It took me a little while, but I did beat the game. It was incredible. I have to say, they did a great job. Now, another game that I look forward to, I haven't played yet, but I look forward to, I think it's supposed to be coming out very soon, is Battlefield Bad Company 2, but they're adding this as an add-on, which is going to be, I think, 1,200 points or something like that. called Vietnam.
Back in the Nam.
Yes, back in the Nam indeed. Now, I think this is the whole setup that they're trying to do, is because they did do Battlefield Vietnam. Now, the only thing about that was that I don't think Battlefield back in that time put enough, you know, initiative into that game.
And this is coming out on December 21st.
Yeah, December 21st. So get ready for your holiday, you know, spending on that one.
Vietnam.
But I mean, I think this is more or less to go against what Call of Duty have just recently done with with their whole game. It wasn't based on Vietnam, but it was based on the era of, you know, that whole time. Now, this is just, you know, it's going to be strictly the whole Battlefield setup like they've been doing lately. It's run around, blow shit up, and kill a bunch of people. But this is, has a setup where I think there's actually going to be a storyline. Or at least I'm hoping that there's a storyline.
No storyline, just kill.
Yeah, I mean, the online play is just incredible with Battlefield, you know, Bad Company 2. When, you know, you go in there and you light up people. Mm-hmm. Like a fucking Christmas tree, and it's awesome. And I like the whole fact that you're able to blow up houses completely now. Because back in the other game, you'd be able to blow a hole through the wall and walk through it, but you weren't able to knock the whole fucking thing down. This one, they've been able to do that. Now I'm just wondering how much of that's going to go into these new games. Especially that they're going to make this, I think, a download strictly. I mean, unless you may find it on the shelves randomly later on.
I know, I'd find it funny, you know, somebody sniping at you from a house, just shoot a grenade launcher, drop the house on them.
Alright, so this is what they're going to be doing. Yeah, I'm not that lucky. They weren't going to do actually a story. It's going to be 5 multiplayer maps, 15 Vietnam-era weapons. Let's see, they got anything? They've got the grenade launcher and everything like that. Flamethrower. Yeah, the flamethrower. I saw that actually on the video, and it looks pretty sexy. It has a lot of range. It's not like how the Call of Duty Ops, Black Ops 1 is. It seems that that one doesn't have enough range to it. That has probably 10 feet. This one looks like it had at least 20 to 30 feet.
No, I like the fact that, you know, the music for the soundtrack is from the 60s.
Yes, they have 60s soundtracks, strictly 60s. Then you got 6 Vietnam War vehicles, from patrol boats, T-54 tanks, which they were actually in Black Ops, where when you're running through the actual Vietnamese, you know, trenches and going out, you know, the Vietnamese are coming in and you're trying to take them on, they actually have the Russian tanks come in at you, and believe me, that is a scary thing until you pull out the little bazooka setup that you got. They have new voiceovers, new trophies and achievements. This is great. Now, the only other thing is that I haven't gotten the chance to try out is the new VIP download setup. I do believe I have VIP, and it's strictly for people who have VIP, so I'm thinking about, once I get a couple extra bucks, I'm going to go and download that and hopefully give a review on it. So, yeah, basically that's what I have to say about that. Oh, yeah, well, yep, like I said, it's going to be 1,200 Microsoft points. Or
which is $15 American.
Basically $15 American. But, yeah, it's definitely one of those ones when you're going to get to try it and go for it. It's probably going to be one of those fucking balls-to-the-wall, ass-kicking games, because they've been doing a great job when they put these games together, especially with DICE backing them. Good fucking job. All right, I think I'm done.
You think you're done?
I'm done.
All right.
I'm spent.
Okay. So we stick a fork in this podcast?
Yes.
Sure.
All right, remember, check out our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas to pitch to us, it's at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com where you can contact us.
What?
Your turn.
All right. We're also on myspace.com/... Boston Bass Brigade. Yes, yeah, there we go. And then we also reside on Facebook for the Boston Bass Brigade, so you just go and type that into the search bar up at the top of the screen. Bingo.
When do we move in?
I don't know. Maybe a couple weeks, or we just pulled the whole, we're sleeping on your couch bit, and then we took over.
Nice.
Yes.
That's how we do it, because we're bastards. Your turn.
And check our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood, ESH.MOBI. Go over, show them some love, and while you're there, check out Geek Aggro.
Yep. I think that's it. Is there anything else that you want to discuss? Anything new about the charity? Or?
No, I'm still waiting on you for that one.
We're still waiting on musicians and all the
other. I haven't heard that from any of them.
We're going to kill some people.
Dead. Yeah, we've had a couple bands, you know, say yes, but not enough to put on a full show yet.
Yeah.
So, we'll be getting back to you.
Alright, so until we get info like that, I guess it's time to put this podcast to a close until next week.
Yep.
So, until next... Oh, actually, next week we'll be having our good gal Nenya joining us again.
Yay, Nenya!
Who's Nenya?
She's
our... Bruins girl!
Our cute Bruins lesbian girl.
Yeah!
Hey, that's not nice.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Because it's true.
Yes.
Still. Now you're stereotyping her.
No, I'm not.
Well, you first you called her cute, which is stereotyping her as, you know, attractive. You called her a lesbian, which is stereotyping her for liking females. And you called her a Bruins person, so that means you stereotype her as only a Bruins fan. What if she likes another hockey team? Or, you know, another sport?
She likes the Blackhawks, too.
See? Now you just, you know, the Blackhawks are now insulted.
Because her main motif is the Bruins.
Doesn't matter. No. You basically made her only a Bruins.
Don't be such a Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Geppetto. Go play with your
wood. All right, you know what? Don't be a Chaka.
No. He's Geppetto. He likes to play with the wood.
No. Chaka, you little asshole. That's all I have to say.
Okay, bye.
All right. All right, let's end this bitch now before somebody gets killed.
Yes. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
Awake.
And this is Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards.
Nap time.
Really cute. Really cute.